Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
1944. The English Channel is all that stands between a massive land invasion into Hitler's Europe. The Allies are poised and ready to make the crossing, and the Nazis are desperate to repel them. Using new technology and innovative concepts, the Luftwaffe will summon forth a dive bomber unique in looks and abilities. This will be their shield to defend against the flood of ships bound for German territory. A Pair of Hunchbacks, Part 1.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, April 5th, 2011, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson. I want to welcome you to the show. If you're listening live tonight, we're glad you could join us. If you're listening to the podcast, we hope you can join us live one Tuesday night, but we're glad you're listening anyway. We've been off a week or two, so we're glad to be back, and we went to Toledo this last week, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to go ahead and welcome our guest tonight. This gentleman, in my opinion, personal opinion, is probably one of the nicest guys in the hobby, and definitely one of the easiest vendors to deal with. But let's give a nice RCSB welcome to our good friend Gary Seibert from Pinkett. Gary, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Well, thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
We're glad you could join us. You know, I got to see you this weekend in Toledo and spend a little time with you, and it's always great to see old friends and, you know, see how much we can embarrass each other. You know how it goes.
We better not. What happens in Toledo stays in Toledo, right?
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, look, let's go ahead and get this thing started. Folks, if you would like to ask Gary a question about his products or services, you can give us a call. Right there on the bottom of the player is our phone number, 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email your questions to live, L-I-V-E, at rcskillbuilder.com. Well, let's get this started, Gary. For those that don't know you or your company, why don't you tell folks a little bit about Pinkett and what products you sell?
Well, I have a company called Pinkett, and we make pinked edge finishing tapes for models. We cut them out of solar techs and they're iron on, and we offer them in many different colors. And if the modeler didn't want to really paint a plane, we could use just about any color of Solartex has to offer, and we cut them different widths and lengths and different scale pinks and things like that for different size models. About the smallest I go is eighth scale, and that's down around a quarter inch wide tapes.
Yeah,
and that has about 18 to 20 pinks to an inch on it. That's pretty small.
Gotcha.
And I've went as high as half scale for people before. So
I gotcha. Well, you know, that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize. You know, you see everybody kind of has their way of making this stuff, but when you start doing the pinked edges, it's really hard to get that accurate trying to cut it yourself. So this tape's really nice because it's just iron on basically, and I've used it myself and had real good results with it and really like it, and I know everyone else has. So you offer it in pretty much from quarter scale, I guess. From you'd probably do third scale too, I would guess.
I do third scale, and like I said, the biggest I've done is half scale. That's 40 percenters. Probably my biggest selling is in between third scale and quarter scale, I would say, is my most popular sizes.
I got you.
We do the fifth scale warbirds, and I realized early on that a lot of the warbirds have tail, all the control surfaces are fabric covered on a lot of warbirds, most of them anyway. Mm-hmm. And modelers just really didn't need to buy a whole picket kit that would be designed to do a whole plane with when all they were doing were the control surfaces. So I put together some kits for the warbird people that are like half the amount of takes would be normal in a normal kit. And that's pretty much in fifth scale for those guys.
I got you. That's pretty neat. You pretty much offer something for everyone when it comes to this. And you know what's funny about this is a small detail that really adds a lot to a model, and it's not that difficult to do, especially with your tape.
Right.
And obviously, I guess you offer all different kinds. You offer the straight also, don't you, or you just offer pink?
Yeah, you know, I offer straight edge tapes as well for some of the older planes. Or one planes had frayed edges, which I just haven't figured out a way to reproduce those yet. So we do the straight edge, and it gets it pretty close.
Yeah.
And then there's actually some newer aircraft that come out, some of the newer biplanes and EA planes that actually do use straight edge tapes on them. So we make those as well.
Gotcha. Well, that's pretty neat. Well, tell us about some of the other things that Pinkett does and other products you have.
I've been doing some T-shirts and coffee mugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's been pretty good. That's keeping me busy.
Yep.
And I'm pretty excited right now. I don't know if I should talk too much about it yet or not, but we've been doing some testing on lozenge pattern fabric.
Huh.
And that's looking pretty promising, and I've got some links and stuff, videos, I believe, from RC Scale Builder under finishing, where I posted some YouTube videos and stuff showing me applying this stuff, the lozenge fabric. So okay. It's still in the testing and development stage, and that's going to take quite a while yet, but
yeah,
it's very promising right now.
Well, that is interesting, because I believe there used to be some guy that made that, but he quit making it. Is that correct?
From what I understand, Glenn Torrance Models has stopped making the quarter scale accessories for his kits.
I got you.
I think there was another gentleman or Boss USA at one time had some that was printed on Solar Tex.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they're working still on a way of getting that done. I just talked to them the other day. And I mean, actually today. There's nothing set in stone there yet, but mine's going to be a fabric. It'll have to be put on either traditionally doped or glued on to some degree, because it will not have the adhesive on the back of it.
Right.
You have to do that. And it'll actually have to sew the panels together just like the real ones.
Wow. That's pretty neat. Well, you know, that's really nice, because after seeing one of those models painted up and that way, I would not want to attempt to even try to paint that pattern.
I did that about 3 or 4 years ago on an Albatross D5 I had, and it took me about 6 months to do the top and bottom of the wings.
Wow.
Just, that's part-time working on it here and there. Every little lozenge had to be stenciled off or taped off and painted on, and then you wait for it to dry and before you go with the next colors, and it just takes forever. And
I bet. Well, by the way, folks, if you'd love to join in the conversation or if you have a question for Gary, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio, or shoot your question in via email to live@rcskillbuilder.com. That's pretty interesting that you're doing that. You know, one thing that I've always thought that's neat about you is you're constantly trying to find solutions for modelers.
Yes.
And, that's pretty neat. I know you've tried several You've got several things that you've done in the past that were really cool, and we probably shouldn't talk about them right now, but I know you've always got something in the works. What other things are you looking at down the road besides this? You got some other ideas that you'd like to share with us, or is it too early?
It's probably too early, and I just don't know yet what else is on my mind. I had some things coming up, but it's just too early to talk about those right now.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty neat, though. And by the way, folks, Gary does our shirts and T-shirts. I mean, our T-shirts and mugs. And if you would like to have any of those done for your company, he can certainly do that for you. Yeah. At a very reasonable price, too, by the way. So, he does a great job and offers great service. Much better than our previous company that did it.
Well, some of the times those big ones are hard to deal with sometimes.
Yeah, they are. So you've been working on this fabric. I was looking at the thread on the site earlier today, and you've been doing some pretty extensive testing with it, using trying to attack it with some MEK and so on and so forth. How's that testing going? Is it going pretty good? Or
it's doing better. I mean, there's so much to test with this kind of stuff. I don't think a lot of people don't realize what you have to go through before you put a product out. You really have to make it, I don't want to say for this to sound cruel, but it needs to be foolproof.
Right.
And I'm not trying to say that any of my customers or potential customers are fools or anything. It's just that you have to make this understandable, because if it's not, there's going to be problems. And so I have to test this thing all different kinds of ways, with what kind of chemicals, water resistance, what's going to go over it, how do you apply it, how does it act in with UV light, because sometimes paints and pigments can die, you know, they fade in the sun and stuff like that. So you have to test it for all those kind of conditions, abrasion conditions and stuff like that. But right now, today, I'm making a better lozenge pattern or fabric than I was yesterday. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's all part of the R&D process, isn't it?
Yes. So I can say that something has moved forward, and today is a better product than what I had yesterday. So,
well, that's great.
We'll keep going until we can't get it any better, and that's when you know it's about ready.
That's great. I tell you one thing I would like to ask you to maybe talk about a little bit, maybe for people who have never used your Pinkit product. Can you kind of go over with them how easy it is to apply and secure down and everything?
Wow, that'll take about a few seconds here. Pretty easy. You would, I think a lot of modelers would probably want to put some kind of a simulated rib stitch over the ribs first. Now, there are products out there that you can buy that are pre-made that come in little adhesive strips, and they're out of Canada. I have a lot of my customers use those. I also am a fan of using glue drops.
Yes.
And on a quarter scale plane, it's about every half inch you want to leave a little glue drop. Now, with the pink tapes that I have, you can put the glue drops underneath the rib tapes if you like. Let's say you were not planning on painting a plane. Let's just take a Piper Cub. That's a pretty popular plane. And you had the Cub yellow covering and you wanted the Cub yellow pink tapes. You can put the glue drops down underneath the rib tapes before you iron them on. And you would take a sealing iron and just kind of trim, you know, go around a little bit, and the fabric will suck down right around that glue drop and look very good.
Right.
Or if you're painting your model, I have some modelers that will iron the rib tapes down to the covering first, then put the glue drop on top of the rib tape. And once you paint it, it all looks the same.
Sure.
Some's easier than others. But it's just basically you would center these tapes up over your ribs. And I like to go from top to bottom, all one big piece, and go around the leading edge and end up back on the bottom of the tail. And you just iron it down. And the adhesive on there will stick right down to your covering.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you're working on a fully covered, if the full scale was a covered aircraft, you know, people don't, I've seen this done so many times, they'll put the pinking on the stab and the rudder and the wing, but they'll leave the fuselage alone. Yeah. And actually, any place where there is a corner or a possible seam is going to have that tape on it.
Right, and anywhere it could be chafing.
That's right. That's right.
More, we call them rib tapes. I think that's kind of a name that's kind of stuck with it. But they're actually reinforcement tapes and or finishing tapes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, leading edges of stabs and rudder, everything, you know, it's covered up. So, well, that's pretty neat. You know, one little trick I use, you talk about using the glue, that I found is I like to use the canopy glue and get it, let it set up and thicken up for a few minutes, and then take a pin and just like for instance on my Belanca, the way the stitching was on it was, it ran the same, it ran parallel to the rib stitching or the rib tape. So I would just take the pin and drag it out and do my little stitching, and man, it turned out great. I mean, I was really pleased with that. It was easy. I was able to do like one side of the stab in less than an hour. It didn't take any time at all.
People say when I tell them the glue drops, and I have little syringes I sell or to go along with that to do that with. Mm-hmm. It sounds very intimidating, but I use like a little piece of masking tape the length of the rib or so, uh-huh. and I'll mark down on there how far the spaces should be. And I'll just lay that tape down against close to that rib so I'll know – give me a little guide to go by.
Right.
But once you get going with it, it goes very fast.
It does. It
in really fact, does. You have to wait for the glue to dry before you can turn it over most of the time to the bottom.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the great part about using the glue, especially like the canopy glue, if you screw up, you can just take a wet cloth and wipe it off.
Yep, it's all gone.
And you start over again. Well, that's great. Well, I tell you what, you know, that's a product that I think has – helped a lot of people to make their models look a lot more detailed, and I know everyone that I've ever ran across that uses it enjoys using it. So I hope you'll continue to make that product.
Oh yeah, that's me forever, I believe.
you're marked now, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty neat. Folks, once again, if you have any questions for Gary, this is your chance to ask him some direct here on the show. You can give us a call at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or just shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com. You know what's interesting is I'm really surprised our buddy Graham down in Australia hasn't called in.
He said he was, so I don't know where he's at. So he must not. Something must have come up.
Well, you know, I see him on Skype, so you know, he might have had something happen, like you know, eating breakfast or something like that. Something.
Yeah, it's breakfast time down there.
That's right. So, we hope we get him to call in some other time. But he calls in the show from time to time. You know, I also wanted to take a minute and thank you for your support of RC Scale Builder. You're definitely one of our vendors that have been with us since day one. Right. And we appreciate everything you do. Gary generously donated some cups and mugs for the Toledo dinner, which we had a great time, didn't we?
You know, I need to say this. Everybody needs to go to the RC Scale Builder dinner in Toledo at least once.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to.
Yeah,
you just don't know what you're missing until you do it.
That's right. You know, you get to meet up with some of these people that you read about on the site all the time, and it's pretty neat, pretty neat. And it was great having Julie and Steve there and celebrating Julie's birthday. That was a lot.
Oh yes, it certainly was.
Yeah, she's a pistol, I tell you.
She's great, you know, and she knows her stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But well, all right, bud. Well, look, we're going to. Oh, hold on. I think we got a caller here. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
How you guys doing? This is Gary's Bikini Babe.
All right.
Oh, no.
The Booth Babe.
The Booth for next year.
Yeah.
Well, he sent me a text message and said I had to call him and harass him. And I got your test sample today in the mail. of the Lawsons. Yes. Right. And it looks really good. I only have one thing that occurred to me. The Lawsons, from what I understand, were not always quite in register. So there's an overlap of color around the edges. There was a shift. Okay. When they, you know, they printed those things, they printed one color, they printed the second color, the third color, fourth color. It's an iterative process. And in the process, the register, I don't know in which direction, but it advanced. So I looked at your edges are really clean and precise, and I'm thinking that that's not quite how it should be. I'm still at you?
Well, yeah, I hear you. I'm open to changing that or adjusting that some. I really need to get down there to the Smithsonian and take a look at the albatross hanging up there for one.
Well, you know, I took some pictures out of Dayton when I was there last weekend before I went to Toledo. And explicitly took a picture of a piece of Lawson's fabric they had. So let me download that from my camera and send it to you and see if you can see anything that's discernible that you need to know about it from this picture I've got.
Well, is it noticeable, that little outline you're talking about?
Well, you know, I wasn't smart enough to think about it at the time. But I do know, and that's why I said talk to Dan St. Abbott, because he's the guru on all things Lawson's. But I believe there is a register shift when they printed this fabric because they didn't get everything exactly right. You know, they had all those little...
That's called a bleed. That's called a bleed area.
Right, right. And so I think that's what the full-size ones demonstrate. Now, I don't know how much or how apparent it is, but if it is supposed to be there and you're, you know, like a scale competition kind of guy, then, that'll get nitpicked if you got it.
Yeah. You
have to do some research into that, bro.
What'd you think of the fabric other than that?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was really nice. Looks good. Colors look good. I didn't compare it to the other fabric I have,
right. But
because I just got it late this evening, but it was in the in the envelope, and it looks really good. It's lightweight. Weave looks pretty good. And so yeah, I'm thinking it's you keep putzing with it some, and you'll have it. It'll be just a thing, you know.
Well, I was saying earlier, the lozenge I made today was better than the lozenge you got in the mail.
Yeah, right.
So I'm continuing to check and to experiment with different products to make it even better. So, well, yeah, I would be interested in that little registration mark. I looked at somebody else's product and I didn't notice that in there. So.
I should. I think a friend of mine, John, has a Winsock data file that's not available anymore on German fabric.
All right.
And so I can check with John. He's a guy that owns the fleet, a friend of mine. Right. And I'm going to ask John about that. This is what I remember this from before, and I'll see what he has. I know you have the Strope book, and I don't know if it shows in the Strope book or not.
No, I took the pattern from that, though, when there are five colors. That's actual quarter scale drawn from that book. I mean, a digitally drawn from that book.
Right, right. Yeah, and I don't know if I had the book, too, and I haven't looked at it in a while, but I don't know if they show that in the book or not. Anyway, it'll be important.
It's not noticeable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it'll be important. And I'll load that picture up and email it to you.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Hey, well, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate you calling in.
It was good seeing you too, Mike, at the show. You know, I was running around like a gadfly, like I do every year. So
it was great to see you too, buddy. It's always my pleasure.
All right, man. You guys take care.
Thanks for the call, pal. All right. That's great, Carl. Interesting discussion about that. That'd be interesting to see how that plays out, Gary.
Yeah, I sent out a bunch of samples yesterday, and he was one of them, and he was the closest to me. So, you know, he got his a lot earlier. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be other people getting some tomorrow and stuff in the mail. But
hey, we got a couple of questions in via email. One is from John Gifford in Australia. And he says, hi, Mike and Gary. Thanks for the great show. Gary, are you able to supply different shapes of pinking tape? By that, I mean circular or beveled shapes, for example, Spitfire feathers, etc.
No, I don't know what he's talking about on Spitfire. I do make what I call silver dollars that have pinked edges in little circular motion, in a circular pattern. Yeah, it's like a little round 1 inch and 1 1/4 inch disc, right, that has the pinked edges around it. The triangular ones, I'm not sure what he's talking about there. If I'd seen a picture of one, I could probably do it.
Well, I mean, I could be wrong, but he may be talking about like the leading and trailing edge shapes, since that's an elliptical stab and wing. Uh-huh. They change a little bit. It starts off thicker and gets thinner. I'm just guessing here, but he may be talking about that. I don't know.
I don't know what I would have to see. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd just be speculating to guessing if without knowing what he's talking about there.
Well, there you go, John. Just give him a shoot him an email and off his website, and I'm sure he can answer that specific question for you. And of course,
try to put a picture or photograph attached to it, a little one there, so I can kind of see what's going on.
Gotcha. Also got one from Tom Crump, and he just says, I've been using Gary's tape a few times. They're easy to apply and look terrific. And he sent a picture of his latest, which is a third scale SIG Spacewalker. Man, that looks good, Tom. And Tom, it was great seeing you this weekend up in Toledo. I'm glad you were able to come and attend the dinner too. You and Glenn both. And
thanks for the noodle, Tom.
Yeah, that was great.
Thanks for the noodle.
Well, all right, pal. Well, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show, Gary. It's always a pleasure to get you on here and talk about your products and see what other things are going on with you.
Thank you.
But anyway, I guess, folks, if you have any more questions or for Gary or want to know more about his products, you can visit him at pink-it.net on the web, or just look at the thread on this episode on RC Scale Builder, and it'll have his information there, and you can contact him that way. And Gary, thanks again for your support, bud, and I'm always glad to get to see you, and I'm so glad we got to spend some time in Toledo this weekend.
Hopefully we'll get to do it again next year, maybe earlier, Mike.
I hope so, pal, and you take care of yourself, and we'll hopefully be talking to you soon. Folks, stick around. We're going to take a commercial break in just a second, but after the commercial break, our good friend Ron Berg will be in with a review of Dave Platt's new DVD, Tools of the Trade. So we're going to take a quick break to play a few commercials for you from our sponsors, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at WarbirdRescue.com.
That's WarbirdRescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
1944. The English Channel is all that stands between a massive land invasion into Hitler's Europe. The Allies are poised and ready to make the crossing, and the Nazis are desperate to repel them. Using new technology and innovative concepts, the Luftwaffe will summon forth a dive bomber unique in looks and abilities. This will be their shield to defend against the flood of ships bound for German territory. A Pair of Hunchbacks, Part 1.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're glad you could be with us tonight. Man, I tell you what, this time change has really got me messed up. I was fiddling around the house a little bit earlier, and I was like, oh, I need to run and do this and do that. And I looked at the clock, and it was like 10 minutes till the show started, and it was still daylight. So hopefully I'll get used to that, although I'm not complaining. I certainly like it staying lighter longer. I believe our good friend Ron Berg is with us. Ron, are you there, buddy?
Yes, I am. How you doing tonight, Mr. Mike?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was listening to Gary on there. That dude, he's something else. I went and looked at the thread he started on that lozenge fabric, and I wonder, can you get a shirt made with that stuff? That'd be pretty good for shirts down here.
That would be neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you got all these good old boys down here that, you know, their church going clothes are just, they haven't cut the legs off the pants yet. And,
yeah.
They'd probably be wondering where that come from.
Yep, you're probably right.
Might be a new line. You know, Gary might can introduce a new hunting clothing line there.
That's right. That's right. So what you got for us tonight, my friend?
I came home a few weeks ago and found a little package in the mail, and my good buddy Dave Platt has sent me a video. He's bringing out a new video here. It's called Tools of the Trade, and it's all about the tools that we use to build models. And, you know, he's got some pretty nice stuff. You know, he's got that CNC lathe and mill machine, but this isn't about this. This is about hand tools, essential tools that we use. And this video, I think, is probably aimed more at the lower time modelers, people that are maybe just breaking into actually, you know, like scratch building or building from plans. It covers a lot of things that for somebody that's been in the hobby for a while may, you know, they probably think it'd be pretty basic. But it's typical Dave Platt. You know, when he tells you about something, he tells you where he got it. And the thing that kind of impressed me, you know, Dave's been building models for forever, and you would think that he would have only the finest tools that money can buy, but it's not true. He's got his bandsaw and his drill press, his air compressor all come from Sears. Nothing wrong with them, and I think that's the point. Is he's telling you do not have to spend a ton of money to buy tools. You can get good results out of the common stuff that is, you know, good value for the dollar. But he covers a lot of the different tools and how to use them. He covers scales, like he shows. He's got three different kinds of scales, and he shows the postage scales that he uses for balancing models, and then he has gram scales he uses for measuring out adhesives and paint and stuff like that. He talks about Dremel tools. You know, he's got, I think it looked like probably 8 to 10 Dremel tools there, and he's got a Dremel tool for every different cutting tool or whatever he needs. He's got them all laid out there when he's working. And it seems kind of extravagant, and I guess it would be if you were going out and buying it, but he pointed out that they make excellent Father's Day gifts and said every time they ask you what you want for Father's Day or Christmas or something, just tell them a Dremel. It sounds like a good idea to me. Anybody that's watched any of his other videos, like his Scratch This video, he goes through designing a plane from scratch with a blank sheet of paper, and you see a lot of his drafting tools. Well, he covers the drafting tools that he has and how he uses them. And it's, like I said, it's just really a good video for people that are new to the hobby. He covers adhesives. He covers G10. He covers balsa. What kind of balsa? You know, the different types of grain and the different applications that you would use it for. Like I said, it's a good intro to the tools that we use for building the models that we do. It's a one-volume DVD, $34.95, shipping included, and it's available on his website, and I'm sure you're going to put the information up on the site. But anybody that's a new builder, it's definitely worth its weight in gold.
That's awesome. I appreciate you telling us a little bit about that. I got to see Mr. Platt this weekend up in Toledo, and you know that he's quite the character. That's all I can say.
He's a good man. He's a real good
man.
There's no way I'm going to miss Toledo next year. I'm going to be there next year.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I just keep letting things get in the way, and it's not going to happen next year. I sit there, look at the picture you got posted on Facebook, and man, I want to be there.
We had a great time. We really did. It was a lot of fun, and you know, it just reinforces what I think about the people on our website and. How great everyone is in this hobby. You know, 99.9% of them are wonderful people. So,
the kind of people you'd like to have living next door.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think you got coming up next time on your own? You got any idea?
Be honest with you, I haven't got a clue. I'm gonna have to do some searching. We're gonna have to get creative here because I'm about burned everything out. But I'm probably gonna look into. There's some video sources for people that want to build their own CNC stuff, and mm-hmm. I think the hobby's progressing that way. Is a lot of people are getting into more exotic tools, and I think a lot more people that are a little bit handy with their hands would probably like to have their own little small CNC cutter if they had. You know, if they could build it themselves and not sink a whole bunch of money into it.
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm going to look into that, I think.
Well, you know, that sounds pretty good. I think a lot of people would be interested in that. And anything exciting going on in Ron Berg's life?
No. It's all work, no play.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I would like to welcome you to my world and take somebody else's world. There's not a day that goes by I don't think about retirement.
I hear you. Well, buddy, I appreciate you calling in and giving us that review, and we'll be sure and look forward to the next one you have for us.
Okay, my friend, you take care.
All right, have a good evening. Thanks for calling. All right, folks, that was Ron Berg wrapping up his DVD review of Dave Platt's Tools of the Trade. And Mr. Platt has a, you know, if nothing else, you need to get it for the picture on the front of the DVD case. He's dressed up like Al Borland, Matt.
And, he has, Al Borland?
Yeah, he has on a flannel shirt with a tool belt, and he's poking his gut out. It's awesome.
I'm guessing this is not on Dave's website right now. But,
no, it's not. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. But but we did scan it, so I'll have to send you a digital copy of it.
I'd love to see a picture of it.
It's pretty
good old
fun.
Dave Platt. That's great.
So you know, man, what a fun time in Toledo. I wish you could have been there. I know you were having fun at Sun and Fun, but man.
Yeah, you know, in between the tornadoes, it was
dodging tornadoes down there, but
No, it was really cool, though.
I wish you could have been there. We had a great time. You know, this dinner we have every year, it just grows more every year. And this year, I think, other than maybe, I think almost everyone walked away with a door prize.
Wow.
So we have a lot of fun doing that. And it's great to get together with folks from the site and some of the vendors. And next year, I think we're going to have it on Saturday night instead of Friday because generally, it tends to interfere with the meet and greet that they have for the vendors at the show. So we're going to try and have it on Saturday night and eliminate that problem, but get more vendors in there. But anyway, we missed you, buddy, and wish you could have been there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. Maybe next year we can make a trip down there. So
yeah, well, you know, I am envious though that you got to fly on the B-25. I just, you know.
Well, you know, everybody thinks that just kind of comes without price, but you know, it's a lot of work.
But oh yeah,
it's a lot of fun at the same time. It's not work; it's a labor of love, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. You know, you try and make it sound like it's, you know, just backbreaking labor, but it's not. It's really a great time, and I would encourage anyone, if you're in the area of an aircraft of a warbird in your area, go out and volunteer.
Oh, absolutely!
Start helping out. You know.
Yep.
So, really cool stuff, though. And I'll tell you what, one of the coolest parts about that whole trip has to undoubtedly be flying with the Doolittle Raiders. That was just really, that had to be the most awesome part of it. And I wish that someone would build a model. Maybe we could talk Pedro into to repainting his B-25 up like Panchito. That'd be pretty cool. Someone needs to do it. I know, was it Glenn Torrance who built one a few years ago? I think it was. I think Glenn Torrance did a model of Panchito, but it'd be fun to do another one. Or maybe a Doolittle Raider airplane. Maybe do the Ruptured Duck. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, Ruptured Duck. That's my favorite one.
So, there you go. There you go.
There you go. Very cool. Yeah, you know, speaking of that kind of thing, I ran across a picture, that picture you took of Dutch and myself, Dutch Van Kirk and myself, and I had to post it on Facebook. You know, that's
I saw that this morning. That was pretty cool.
It's just incredible. You know, that guy is such a big piece of history, and it was such an honor to meet him and get to spend some time talking with him. And what a nice fella. And, you know, I know he's been under the weather a little bit, so we hope he gets back on his feet here soon.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm certain of it. He sounded like he was doing a lot better the last time I heard from him. So,
well, good.
Good
I'm
stuff
glad
going
to hear
on.
That.
But, yeah, man, good stuff. And I'm looking forward to hearing tonight's trivia question, Mike.
Oh, we got a good one. We got a good one.
You seem to be in a good mood, so I'm guessing it's not going to be all that tough. But
well, I don't know. This is not an easy one.
Okay.
And, you know, we can thank Jerry Bates for this one. He helped me come up with this one. So,
well, let's hear it then. Enough of the fiddle fart. Let's hear this.
That's right. You know, we need some trivia music, don't we?
You do need some trivia music.
We need to come up with something for that. All right. Okay, we got the Meister trivia question tonight, and this is your chance, folks, to win some Zap CA glue and a Aero Cinema DVD preview DVD, which has several of their programs on it and is a very nice DVD. All you got to do is answer the trivia question and call in. I am not, here we go. I'm not going to take any email answers tonight.
All right.
You're going to have to call in, either Skype in or pick up the phone, one of the two. And to call us, the number is 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio. Either way, you can get in without any problems. And we would love for you to call in and try and answer the question. So here's the question. What surplus U.S. Navy aircraft was converted for use by the U.S. Air Force for air sea rescue in 1948?
Hmm. Navy airplane.
Yeah. Once again, what surplus U.S. Navy aircraft was converted for use by the U.S. Air Force for air sea rescue in 1948?
Hmm. Well, there was a couple of them that I could think of, but
well, in 1948 there was
only
one. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I have a feeling that it's going to be quiet for a little while, Mike. Very quiet.
A lot of people Googling, huh?
Perhaps crickets.
This is really not that hard of one if you know where to look, but It is a rather challenging question. Hmm. And I will give a hint. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and give a hint.
Give a hint, Mike.
This is a very ugly airplane. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you have a caller holding. You want to, I mean, let's see if they get it.
Let's see it. Caller, you're on the air. Do you know the answer to the trivia question?
Hey, Mike. Tim Sparks calling. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. How about you?
It was great, great meeting you at Toledo again.
Absolutely.
I did not Google it, but I'm going to guess it was the HU-16 Albatross. Probably not right, but, hey, you know, just wanted to get my name on the radio and talk to you guys and tell you what a great time Toledo was.
Well, I'm glad you called, but unfortunately, Tim, that's incorrect. But I tell
Imagine
you what, you are pretty darn close.
Okay. Okay,
you're
I think it's some sort of a seaplane. Initially, I was thinking the B-17, you know, the Coast Guard threw lifeboats under the bottom of the B-17s, but that's not the question you're asking, so.
Right. You
anyway.
Know, this is pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting answer, too, so be sure and stay tuned and listen. And, hey, thanks for listening to the show tonight, and it was wonderful to see you as usual in Toledo.
Yep. Hey, first-time listener, first-time caller also.
Well, I'm glad you're in. Well, you know, heck, we may just have to give you some glue just for that.
I can always use glue. You know, you guys haven't seen me fly, but others have, so you know that I need plenty.
Yeah, but we know how fast you fly, too.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true. I'm probably one of the faster guys on Earth.
Yeah, that's right. Well, why don't you shoot me an email with your mailing address to live, L-I-V-E, at RC Scale Builder, and I'll get one of those packs out to you.
You bet.
All right.
Great talking
to you,
man.
Thanks for listening, buddy.
I'm not a loser. I'm still a winner. There you go.
That's right. Bye-bye. That's right. All right, folks. We still don't have a correct answer. Once again, the question is, what surplus – and that's a key word right there. What surplus Navy aircraft, U.S. Navy aircraft, was converted for use by the U.S. Air Force for air sea rescue in 1948?
Now, give us a hint, Mike. Was it a? Can you tell us the family?
Well, Tim kind of nailed it. It is a seaplane.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, you know, okay. But there are a lot of land planes used for air sea rescue, you
That's
know.
True.
So,
That's true.
But it was a seaplane, and it was a single-engine aircraft. How about that?
Oh, boy, okay.
Oh, man, you should be able to get it just from that.
Yeah.
You should be able to get it from that. Mm. But if you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio, and we'll definitely get you on the air and give you a shot at winning some glue and an AeroCinema DVD preview.
Looks like Alan Yindel just joined us now, and you want to, Alan? You there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. I was trying to get you earlier, so I didn't hear the second guess. But is it the Grumman Duck?
That's exactly what it is. The Grumman Duck. Yep, the Air Force converted like eight of them and designated it as the OA-12-12.
Well, I didn't Google it either.
Well, that's a great guess. Then you know your airplanes.
A little bit.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I missed the first bit, unfortunately, but I've just been online for about half an hour.
Well, you can always go back and listen to the podcast, right?
Yeah, I will do. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thanks for calling in. Shoot me your address. Shoot me your mailing address via email, and I'll get one of these packs out to you.
Okay, I'll do that later on season. Thanks a lot. Okay. Good show.
All right. Thanks for the call, Alan.
The Grumman Duck.
The Grumman Duck.
Yeah, there was one that I think Kerman Weeks had his airplane there at some fun this weekend.
Yeah, you know,
big airplane.
You know what? The funny thing about that airplane, that is the epitome of it has everything on it a modeler hates to do, if you think about it.
Really? Well, it has retracts.
Well, yeah, it has like the Wildcat style retracts that pull in.
Right.
It has a huge float and pontoons, lots of flying wires. I mean, just everything as complex as a model can be, that one is. That's it. You know, so. So I guess that's why you don't see too many of them. Huh?
Maybe. Nice airplane, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Interesting, though, that they picked up a few of those. And I believe they were used up in Alaska in that area, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's where they were used. It seems like I read that somewhere. You know, we got some events coming up. Actually, even starting this weekend, we've got Warbirds Over Bama in Tuscaloosa this weekend.
Tuscaloosa,
Alabama.
That'll be fun.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be down there for probably just go for the day, but because it's not that far. But yeah, we'll be heading down to that one. And then, of course, Blue Max is coming up week after next, April 15th through 17th at Fantasy of Flight.
Are you going to go, Mike?
Florida. No, I won't be going to that one.
Okay.
I don't have a World War I aircraft to take, so.
Okay.
And Sodbusters is coming up April 22nd and 23rd in Camden, South Carolina. That'll be a great one to go to. And then I think we're going to be at the Azalea City Model Aeronautics Scale Fly-In April 30th in Mobile, Alabama. So that'll be a good one to attend also. And you'll be down there. Anybody in that area, you should come on over. It's going to be a great fly-in, and you're near the USS Alabama, and you can check out some aircraft they have there at the museum, and It's a great place to spend the weekend. So be sure and check that out. If you have any events you'd like listed, shoot me an email and I'll be happy to read them on the air. But be sure and visit myrcevents.com and post your events up there. And it's a great way for people to RSVP or just put pictures and directions and everything else without having to have your own website. So be sure and check out that website. I was trying to think if there's anything else we didn't cover tonight that I needed to cover.
Well, you and I are going to Bomber Field this year.
Yes, we need to announce that. Matt and I were trying to figure out, maybe it's premature to say how we're going to get there. But
we're gonna drive. Are you kidding? We're gonna drive over there and
we're not going to take the pedal plane?
Maybe we'll take the pedal plane. Yeah,
I think we should make an appearance.
There you go. Okay. We can do that. We're going to get there somehow or another.
Yeah, somehow we're going to be there at Bomber Field this September. So be sure, and if you're planning on going to that, be sure and try and attend and stop by and say hello. I'm sure we'll be there somewhere. But that is such a huge event. I really look forward. I've never been to that one, so I really look forward to going to it and checking it out. But, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about real quick while we're on the air is I want you to tell people about a little bit about your adventure this weekend. I'm sure they'd love to hear this.
This weekend?
This last weekend. This last week, actually.
Sun and Fun was great. We had a good time down there. But the tornado, of course, came through, and a lot of aircraft were damaged. But, you know, all in all, the event really pulled off without a hitch Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it went really well. So our hats off to the folks down there at Sun and Fun. But I'm serious, Mike. The week before, just after reflecting on it a little bit, the week before we were in Punta Gorda, Florida, for an official thank you with the Doolittle Tokyo Raiders and the Chinese people. And it was really cool to see that interaction and just to get to be around those guys, the three of them that were there. There's, you know, only five left living, and the three that could still travel were there, and it was just really terrific to be able to spend that time with them. And that was truly special. Of course, Dick Cole, who was Jimmy Doolittle's co-pilot, he actually flew us in from Sarasota. We landed there and picked him up. We were supposed to pick Dave Thatcher up as well, but he was snowed in back west, so he couldn't make it down on time. So nonetheless, we picked up Colonel Cole, and he flew us down there the rest of the way to Punta Gorda. And we had Jim Tobel and his new Corsair from South Carolina there flying on our wing. It was just really a special time. So, and, there's a great modeler story there somewhere, and maybe one night we'll get Jim to tell it. But pretty fun stuff, and really special to have. I never in a million years thought that I'd be riding in a B-25 that'd be flown by Dick Cole.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. And,
that really is.
Yeah, it was just, that's one of those once-in-a-lifetime things that, will never happen again, more than likely. But I will say this, Robert Seale, the amazing photographer Robert Seale, he's taken more covers of the Smithsonian than a lot of folks have ever seen of Air and Space, and a great photographer. He's from Houston, Texas. He was there to photograph the Doolittle Raiders for the Air and Space magazine. And if you have not visited his site, you should look it up. It's just Robert then Seale, S-E-A-L, I believe, Robert Seale. And just really cool stuff. And to think about what he's going to do with the Raiders images, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's S-E-A-L-E, Robert Seale, photography there. And the guy is just, he's an incredible world-class photographer. And to have all three of them there at twilight, next to the B-25, it was like church, Mike. You know, I just can't begin to describe it. I mean, it was really a surreal moment. And I know that when those photographs come out, it's really going to be a moving thing to see. So be looking for that.
That's just amazing.
It absolutely was amazing. I mean, Robert photographed everybody you can think of. Lance Armstrong. I mean, the last astronauts to fly the shuttle. He's done so much stuff, and to have him there, really cool to see the way that hopefully that article will shape up. And You know, the only thing I can say on that and further is to be sure and attend at Dayton. And that's why I think it'd be so cool to have somebody build either the ruptured duck or a Raiders aircraft. Because, you know, next year it's the 70th anniversary. And I don't know where, we can't say officially yet where it's going to be. But how cool would the Raiders reunion be to have, you know, to have that model there on display with those guys. So I'm just going to throw that out there. We still have enough time, right? A little over a year away. And I just think that'd be really cool. So
gotcha. Gotcha.
Something to think about.
Or absolutely.
Why not build all 16?
Oh, my God.
Why? Well, hey, that'd be an easy project to do for the RC Scale Builder website. You know, have 16 Zeroli B-25s there at the show.
Well, I tell you what, you find the sponsors and we'll get the builders. How about that?
I think it'd be awesome to do. So,
I think it would be awesome.
I think that would be, that'd be really cool for the 70th reunion. So, anyway, I put that challenge out there. I will bring I'll bring my Park Zone Mustang.
I got to tell you, I thought of you this weekend, and let me tell you why. Somebody was flying one of those out in front of the convention center.
It wasn't me.
And I was looking for you. I was like, where is he?
He's gotta
I know
be
he's
there.
Here somewhere.
He's got to be there.
Yeah.
What a great airplane. Yeah, maybe Parkson will be building a B-25. And well, you know, you could do it with gosh, I'm drawing a blank. You know the small B-25 I'm talking about.
The WOW.
Yeah, WOW planes. Yeah.
Yeah,
we could do 16 of those.
Hey, I was going to tell you, you know, something I saw that was neat. I'm amazed where these electric models are going. Horizon had it looked like a 40 size P-51B, and it looked really good, and it was electric, and it was all foam.
No kidding.
It was a closed cell foam, so it had a nice, kind of like those Analog Alpha models, but it had one of the best finishes on it I think I had ever seen.
Wow.
For an ARF, you know. And I was really amazed how light the thing was. But it's amazing what they're coming out with, you know.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I'll tell you what, it's just it's just getting better and better and better as the day goes.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, Extreme Flight, you know, demoed their new radio up there, the 16-channel with voice activation. I think it had like 100 model memory. what else did it have? Oh, telemetry. You had telemetry links to your airplane for $250.
Well, so, there you go.
That's something to be on the lookout for.
Just something else to watch while you're trying to fly there. So
that's right. There you go. There you go.
That's
but,
cool.
Anyway, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for tonight, I believe. So I was trying to think. I think we took care of all the business we needed to take care of. And appreciate everyone listening tonight. And thanks, Matt, for coming on and joining me. And thanks to our guest, Gary Seibert, and thanks to Ron Berg. But mostly thanks to you guys for listening tonight. We do this show for you. So let us know if there's anything you'd like to hear special, and we'd love to try and do it for you. So that's going to wrap it up. And until next week, we'll be back with another great interview and lots of more information of things going on in the RC scale world. But be sure and stay tuned here for more great programming on Warbird Radio. And until next time, don't forget to measure twice and cut once, Mr. Jolly.
Well, good night, Mike.
Good night.
Talk to you next week, bud.
Bye-bye.